Hey everyone, this is the heartbreaking, history-making, knockouts champion of the century, and you're listening to the V2 Journal.
Okay, this is Adam Davey reporting with the V2 Journal. I've got a very special guest with me right now. I've got joined by Mickey James, the current knockout champion.
Good evening, Mickey. Yeah, I am. Well, hi.
So we're here in Ayr on a beautiful sunny evening in Scotland.
It's and gorgeous. I wish I had more time to spend at it. I mean, we're on the beach and everything.
Well, yeah, I've got to say I'm looking quite splendid in my Speedos at the moment next to Mickey in a bikini. Well, I wish that was true. Anyway, yeah, we're down here because we're with Pro Wrestling Elite and Mickey has just finished her match.
Big match against Miss Nikki Storm.
How did you find that?
I think the match went really well. Honestly, I'll say that I think a lot of Nikki. I've worked with her last time I was here in Ayr and for Pro Wrestling Elite, and then to come back and then have a singles match against her and to see how far she's come since the last time that I worked with her. It's awesome, and I'm really proud of her and excited for her and her future. So, I think you'll see big things from Nikki Storm. Yeah. I almost said Mickey.
We've
already seen big things from Mickey.
Well, funny thing is, in the ring there, when we were watching you, there were so many similarities, you know, build and just the look. And it was,
right.
I think you said Mickey there. I wouldn't be surprised if other people see her wrestling would say the same thing.
Yeah. But
it was a great match.
Thank you.
Obviously, you do quite a few of these house shows around the world. And at the moment, though, you're on tour promoting your album as well.
So tell us
about it.
I'm on the road full time, you know, TNA and Impact Wrestling as we're doing the world tour, obviously. And then I'm also on, you know, tour with media and radio and trying to promote my new album, Somebody's Gonna Pay. It came out May 7th, and it's doing really great. Like, it's doing slow and steady build kind of deal, and it's been awesome. And be with, like, E1 Music Nashville, who's obviously their, you know, the music label I'm under. But they've just been incredible to me. And we have, like, the music video, who Trish Stratus is in, and fellow star Magnus is in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a bunch of my songwriting friends and people like that. So it's just been a cool journey, I think, in the releasing this one, from going from releasing the first one on my own and, like, what I've taken from that and been able to encompass in this one.
So what made you decide to get into music? Was it something you've always done?
It's something that I've always done. Like, I played the violin for 5 years when I was in school. And I used to make, like, little mixtapes and record myself singing in my bedroom and give them to my mom. And it's just one of those things I had no idea, you know, even just doing chorus and stuff. You had no idea how that would ever come to fruition, yeah? And just like wrestling. And I was fortunate and very blessed enough to find a wrestling school and get my feet wet, get started, and then really find a great wrestling school and some great trainers and do some really amazing camps to get along in that aspect. And it's one of my, you know, obviously wrestling is a true passion of mine, but music was one of those things that I was always fearful of, and I really didn't even, you know, whether it was out of fear or ignorance, I just didn't go after it at all. And it took a moment where I go, like, you know, this is the one thing that I've always really wanted to do ever since I was a little girl, as much as I wanted to wrestle, and I never had, like, never even pursued it, never even tried, never even did anything with it. And so I was on the road full-time anyway, and I was starting to write, and I was already writing other stuff, but I started to write lyrics to songs, whether, you know, lyrics to a melody that was already on the radio or to a melody that was just popping in my head. And so I was just like, I'm just going to take this collection of songs and take them to Nashville and just cut a record. And, you know, even if it ends up on my mom's coffee table as a coaster, hopefully not. But even if it does, at least I did it. And I can say that I did it. I've done everything that I wanted to do in life fearlessly and went after it wholeheartedly. And I don't know why I haven't done this. So I'm just going to do it. And that's, yeah, and then out of that, like, you know, we took those three songs, and then the producer that produced the first album, he's like, yeah, I mean, these songs are great, but I say that, you know, nobody sounds like you, nobody has your story, and so let's just make a full-on album. And
so for those who haven't heard any of your music, the big launch party for your album's tomorrow night,
the official England launch party is on Sunday, right?
Sure.
And then obviously we're doing one in Germany as well. And, you know, because it's weird because, like, the album's been out since May, but it's been really hard to do anything in the UK market. And I have such a large fan base and a very loyal fan base. And I want it to be able to have a moment to share that share this music that I've worked really hard on the last year or so.
So if someone wanted to get a taste of it, they want to listen to the music, and they're going to download one song from iTunes, whatever, which one would you say to them, this is Mickey James,
Somebody's Going to Pay is the title of the album, as well as it was the single that we released to radio, and that's the one that we're really pushing. But it's tough because, there's a couple of songs that I co-wrote on. We put Hardcore Country on as a bonus track. And then there's some ballads. There's some really great music. Like, I got really blessed with some amazing songwriters and probably, the best musicians in, the U.S., if not, like, some of the best in the world on the album. So it's just kind of, it just depends on what your flavor is. There's, like, a little bit of soul. There's a little bit of rock. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of southern rock and country. And so there's a little bit for everything.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned your early days there, and you said that you went through some great training. Oh, by the way, you said you were a violinist. That would have been so good if you could have had like a Jeff Jarrett guitar, but with a violin gimmick.
But yeah, I did like a little bit of a...
You missed out on that.
I did miss the boat, but probably because it was already kind of done indirectly.
Anyway.
It would have been like, I'm a girl, so my guitar is littler. It's a fiddle.
Anyway, going back to the early days, obviously... when you came into the industry, as far as the mainstream is concerned, you're in WWE as, I think it was Trish Stratus's stalker.
Psycho stalker fan, yeah.
And that was about the only time that, until now, you played a heel, as far as I can remember, on TV.
I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. That's what I was going to ask you. You're doing brilliantly. And
I know. No, I'm just kidding.
we do our weekly show, and we've absolutely been floored by how good this heel turn has been. So is it something
that
you've held
off? It's almost like you think that that's me in real life and I've just been playing this really nice girl next door this past 8 years.
To our listeners, I've been with Mickey most of the day and she's awful. She's a terrible human.
I know. It's terrible. I don't even know how I deal with myself, much less other people deal with me. No.
So back to the heel character. Anyway, so why did you hold off so long? Is it just because of the opportunity or... It
wasn't really my choice. Right. It hasn't been my choice. And I think that it was weird because when I first came in, I mean, obviously, I was a heel, but I was a different type of heel. I wasn't that, oh, I hate you all, you guys suck type of heel, which I always think is it's far too easy. It's overdone. And yes, it does get heat, but it's not that genuine. Like, so it was fun to... Instead of being that type of heel, to come up with this character, portray, and you know, obviously with Trish and the writers and whoever, we kind of created this insane like character that was kind of fun, you know what I mean? But crazy. But we all know we're all a little bit crazy, aren't we? Especially in wrestling, we're all wrestling crazy.
You ought to see the look she's giving me right now.
But it's to be able to play, like to come up with this character and kind of delve into it and just really pull all the ins and outs, the fine tune, like the little things, like, what color was her favorite color and what music she listened, all that little stuff. Like, it kind of really helps to kind of create this and, crazy character. And so it was fun to be able to do that. And then it was weird because it wasn't me that turned me into the good girl. It was the fans. Like, it was we're fighting uphill kind of deal. It's because they were cheering for me when I was out there trying to get booed because they were enjoying the character. And out of that, I just kind of stopped being crazy. I was like, took Prozac or something, I don't know. And from there, I've just been a baby face ever since. And I've tried, I've asked to turn heel at points when I felt like there was a bit of a lull or like there wasn't really much going on or my character was kind of, but it was just one of those things of like, well, I was a really strong baby face and it was, it's hard when you're one of the strongest baby faces on television for them to go like, well, it's then who's going to be our, So I don't know. And then I think it was just one of those things, like I'd been asking to turn, even here in TNA, I'd been asking to turn heel for a while. And I know that several people thought that I could do it or knew that I could do it. Like David Laganis there now. And he was working with me when I was heel before. And so he knew not only am I really crazy, but I'm not really crazy. I'm not, I swear it. But that he knew what I was capable of in that sense. And I think he was the one that kind of really went to bat for, because I talked about it and then, been asking about it. And it was always, no, we can't do it. No, we can't do it. Right. But I'm glad that they did. And I think this type of heel that I'm who I am now, I should say, is different than who I was portraying before. Sure. There's shades of that, you know what I mean? There's obviously shades of, but instead of being just whacked out and super fan, I'm actually just this.
So on that note, you mentioned David Luganis there. Is he the creative behind the Knockouts division?
I don't think that he's the only creative behind the Knockouts division. I think it's obviously a collection of everybody that's mm-hmm. there. But yeah, I mean, he's there. Like, we have some pretty great people on our team, like, now, and I think that the product as a whole is really coming together.
I mean, on that note, I know it might be, you know, a sensitive issue at the moment, but obviously the Knockout division is fantastic. It is really well, but it's actually shrinking.
I know, because I'm the champion. I know it is.
Apart from that, of course. But it's obviously there's been a few releases of key figures in the Knockout division.
I know. Yeah. And it was kind of like a shock, especially when... Madison, you know, is kind of one of those things of, like, obviously she's pregnant right now, and she's been pregnant for the last, you know, couple months or however, she's due soon, mm-hmm. obviously. And she's been there. So I guess I just assume that, okay, well, we'll just see her when she's after she's had a baby mm-hmm. and ready. I don't know. And Tara was obviously shocking to me, just because I guess that she's just been there for a while now, and she's been mm-hmm. kind of a staple of the Knockouts locker room. And it's not like, you know, we had a really very, I thought we had a very strong, one of the best divisions out there, and it's kind of seen it, like, a little bit dwindled down a little bit. But I think that that's just, perhaps, is like, you know, as some stuff cycles out, new stuff cycles sure. in. It's sad to see certain people go, especially when they're so talented. And I know, because I've had some incredible matches with both those women, and it's, you know, sure. I'm really sad, because they're not just my friends, but they're my colleagues, and I know that they're amazing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So I hope that whoever that they bring in that's going to be the next cycle through is just as good, if not better, which is going to be hard to do.
And is anyone out there who you would really like free agent? Who you'd like to see?
I don't know who's free agent. There's also obviously several girls out there that I think would do a world of good with our roster. And if there's one girl that I could pull for and that I would pull in personally, it would be Serena. And not just because she's a friend of mine, but, you know, has the same and very similar background. And she's one of the best girls I've ever stepped in the ring with. Cool. And I don't think that she's ever properly gotten a push or the in-ring as far as wrestling character. Like, they saw her as this straight edge, and they shaved her head, and she was able to play that and show off her microphone skills or stuff. But people really never got to see how great she was in the ring, and she's amazing. Like, you know, and it's crazy, because I know that she could go toe for toe with me, with Gail, with any of the girls, and maybe even out-wrestle some of us, because she's that technically good and her character's that great. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. I mean, I thought she was really good in Straight Edge Society.
Yes.
And once again, her firing came out of nowhere, didn't it? So it would be good to see her back on TV.
Right, right.
I mean, going back to those WWE days, I mean, obviously when you left, there was there was a terrible... not gimmick, but storyline that you were placed in. Do you look back now and think that, you know, that whole body image that they still push to this day is terrible for women's wrestling in general?
I think that my general perception, and maybe this is just me or how I tend to look at things, is it was a mixed, I think, from all aspects, from Michelle and Layla to myself, on how that storyline was kind of perceived and taken. But I think that out of, you know, from the three of us, and even with Vicky in it, like, you know, it's hard to say, because I just think that bullying was such a big, it would just come to light, like, bullying and what a big issue, especially virally, because I mean, how easy is it to pick on somebody from behind a computer screen, honestly?
You should see the hate mail I get.
So easy to do, but, like, you know, you see the person and face to face, and you can't, and all you do is smile and shake their hand, right? Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things. So I think it was more of a way, or at least I hope, of a way to attack that is still ongoing problem you know, mm-hmm. of bullying, how big of an issue it was, and it was kind of like hoping to see that. And it was weird. I feel like we took that storyline that was very controversial and very, mm-hmm. you know, on the edge kind of deal, and we made the most out of it and just turned it around and made something pretty magical, I thought, out of it. So it's still talked about, and it's that storyline along with Trish's were probably my most, ironically, memorable storylines. People talk about that storyline almost as much as they talk about the storyline with Trish. And it's weird because it's complete polar opposites in how, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. So going forward, obviously the album's out, you're promoting it in the launch tomorrow, as you said, England, UK, and then Germany the day after. What can we expect going forward? Are you going to carry on wrestling for as long as possible, or do you think you're going to go down
the music road? Well, I love wrestling. Mm-hmm. I, just because I'm doing music doesn't mean I've stopped loving what I'm doing and am okay stepping back and let somebody take my title as best in the whole century. No, I feel like there's still a legacy that there's still some more that I want to do in my wrestling career. I feel like there's obviously a time when, you know, everybody, you know, I can't wrestle forever, obviously. But there's music dates going on the books, or it's starting to fill up as far as the music tour dates. There's obviously, I'm still with Impact Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Every Thursday, Spike TV, or Challenge. It's Challenge here on Sundays.
Sunday nights, yep. Yep. 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, tune in, watch me, I'm awesome. What?
Well, on that note...
I'm just going to continue. I'm just rolling with the punches and see whatever... I've stopped planning for things in my life. Mm-hmm. Like you set... I've just stopped... I just go with the flow and then hope for the best and think positive and really work hard and try to do the best I can do every day. And just hopefully that will bring back to itself.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you.
And it's been wonderful seeing you.
And thank you for my socks. You're amazing.
There you go, listeners. You heard it from Mickey James. I am officially amazing. On that note, thank you for your time, Mickey.
Thank you.
We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good.